Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Scott.
Hey, I'm Ben.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, we're going to start things off today with a bit of listener mail. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
All right, here we go. We got this note from, I'm going to say, Ariadne.
We've
had this listener mail.
Write in before.
Yeah, we've had this listener write in before, but I had trouble with the name before. I didn't get a phonetic spelling, but I'm going to say Ariadne.
We hope that's right.
I do. And let's see. This last Labor Day, I was sailing through western Kansas on my way home to Kansas City. Something about the way of the car. I got a speeding ticket for going 86 in a 70-mile-per-hour zone, and the cops said I have three options. Number one, pay the ticket by mail. Number two, pay the ticket online. Or number three, show up on my court date and contest the ticket.
Hmm.
Well, I think I can guess which one Ariadne chose here, because it says, in court, what would a person have to say or do to get out of the speeding ticket?
Yeah.
I'd love to hear a podcast about how to argue traffic violations. And this is very specific.
Yeah.
If that episode could arrive before October 20th, that would be all the better. So.
Which just cracked me up.
Yeah, I know. Me too. It's like, I need this right now. Give me your best advice. Unfortunately, I got the bad news here.
Are you going to do the caveat?
Well, why don't you go ahead?
All right. Unfortunately, we are not legal experts, and we're not really in a position where we can give legal advice.
No.
We can. You know what? I think that's a great idea for a podcast. I like the idea of traffic violations maybe in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ariadne, we got together, and we were thinking, how can we talk about this? And naturally, whenever you and I are hanging out, we pretty much go on tangents. We have tangential conversations.
Sure.
Which is why we ended up doing a podcast about radar guns.
Exactly.
Go.
Yep. And, that's exactly what we spun off from this. And cool. And the thing is, I mean, I wish we could help you out, but we can't. We just can't do it. There are websites that are devoted to something like this, to here's what you may want to do, and you may want to go over this checklist and make sure that everything was handled, by the books. And, but that's about as far as we can go with telling you what to do here in this case. So sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I wanted to get the message out there that, we read the mail. We're thinking about it, but we just can't do it.
We've got tricks up our sleeves, but none of those tricks, unfortunately, telling people how to get out of tickets.
All right, so we're talking about radar detectors, right? Because you and I started talking about radar detectors at this point, and how the heck do police check our speeds on the roads? Because there's a variety of different ways.
Okay. Well, I was going to say they can make it up. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah,
but. in truth, there are times when people are clearly exceeding the speed limit to the point where they are unsafe drivers. And at that point, I don't think a police officer needs a radar gun if they see someone, you know, doing 90 in a 35 or
correct.
Something.
Yeah, it's not necessary to have a radar gun at that point. Mm-hmm. Then it's just a, you know what, I'm going to, is it, what would it be, reckless driving? What would it be?
Yeah, it's like, it would be reckless driving, unsafe for conditions or something like that, you
okay.
know?
All right. Yeah, I understand. I don't know what yeah. exactly you would be ticketed for, but... Yeah, it's not necessary to have an exact reading in that case, in that type of situation, when you're clearly a danger, you're out of control
yeah.
of the vehicle. What we are talking about, though, is the very precise manner in which they do measure your speed. And for that, they use several different things, and some of them are not electronic.
Dun, dun, dun.
Most are. But some aren't. Okay, so we're talking, as most people have probably heard, you know, radar guns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then there's... I'm going to say LIDAR. Is that right?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, LIDAR guns. There's also detection devices, which can detect your radar device. They can do something called VASCAR, which we'll talk about later.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's just a bunch of different pacing. There's pacing.
Pacing?
Yeah.
There's a couple different ways.
Am I missing any there? I think that's about it.
That sounds like most of them.
Okay.
The thing is, man, whenever I see... I'm just going to give one piece of advice to people who are out. If you're out on the interstate or something and you see the police officer or the trooper or whomever it may be, with the gun out measuring
yeah.
for speed,
mm-hmm.
don't slam on your brakes because if you're trying to catch someone speeding, right? And you're seeing this line of cars coming up and they're all kind of going the same speed and you want to clock one of them, who are you going to look for? Are you going to look for everybody who's just driving like nothing's wrong? Or the person who slams on their brakes and makes their hood dip down?
Oh, the front end that drops yeah,
yeah.
to the ground. That's right.
Oh,
yeah.
that's
I've heard that. I mean, I'm sure there's something to that. And that's one of the things that, you know, when we talk about all this as we get into it, one of the things that is that if you're in a group of cars, it's much more difficult for them to single you out.
Mm-hmm.
If you are alone... you're going to get caught just about no matter what because, you know, some of the methods that we talk about, some of the detection devices that we're going to talk about.
Yes.
They're effective,
mm-hmm.
but only if you're in a group of people or you're indistinguishable in a group.
Right.
That, you know, you can't figure out which one it is. But if you're the only car around, and he's got a clocked reading of a vehicle traveling in above a certain speed,
mm-hmm.
that's you.
That is you.
That is
and
you.
It is
yeah.
very difficult.
Yeah. So
to...
okay. So we're getting kind of we're getting off this area.
We're getting a little
here,
off.
But,
yeah. I'm sorry.
Let's see. Where do you want to go? You know, actually, let's just talk about this real quick.
Yes.
Radar detectors have been around since the 1970s. Is that right?
Yeah. That's wild. Isn't
I
it?
Know. Now radar. They've been using radar to clock people since the 1950s. But the detection devices didn't come around until about the 70s. And if you recall, those were called, I think the original one was called the Fuzzbuster.
Fuzzbuster.
Yeah, you probably heard that just in, you know, a slang term being used in the past. I know I did. They were called that for a long time, up until at least early 90s. I've heard them called Fuzzbusters. And then there was one after that called the Super Snooper, I think was the name of that one. And these are giant things. They look like a brick.
Yeah,
that you put on your dashboard, and they're very, very obvious. Have one big light on them, you know, volume control, and that's about it.
And that's fine as long as you're in a state where those devices are legal.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. And there's, let's see, I got a list of places where those are legal and illegal. You want to, segue into that?
Let's see, real quick. Let's set the scene. Okay, so what we're talking about, ways that officers, I guess, catch you speeding are. There's a lot of science behind it, but basically, this is a really weird part. I just want to get this out now. The same companies that sell those radar detectors sell the radar guns, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of the funny thing. I don't know if it's the exact same or not, Ben. I've heard this in the past.
I've heard it too.
And the funny thing is that I swear I've heard that. But I know that the way it works is kind of a cat and mouse game.
Yes.
In that, you know, one improves just a little bit. The other one, you know, they kind of sidestep it and figure, mm-hmm. like, well, we'll up the bandwidth on this. Or, you know, we're going to adjust it somehow so that it's undetectable. Mm-hmm. And the, you know, then the other one, it's up to them to update in order to be able to catch up with that. Yeah. Whether that's the detection or the device that actually clocks them.
Oh, wait, Scott, hold on a second. I did this kind of backwards.
Okay, what do you got?
This was my bad. We're talking about these things, but we're not talking about how radar detectors work.
Oh, well, we need to know that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man.
That's where's all right. You want to, that for us?
As penance.
Oh, good.
As penance, I will go ahead and just break this down. And, we get a lot of help from an excellent article, How Radar Detectors, Work.
Isn't that handy?
That is handy and dandy, my friend. Okay, so basically, here's how it works. We live in a modern world. There are invisible waves of radio signals all around us.
You're freaking me out, man.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I got some tinfoil hats. Maybe we can put those on. So for any kind of any kind of receiver that picks up radio signals, it has to be tuned to a specific type of signal, specific frequency.
Okay.
And the reason it has to do that is otherwise it will respond every time something transmits something, right? You know, mm-hmm. that's just poor design. So the receiver in a radio, right? We have this example in the article, picks up the AM and the FM frequencies or bands. I'm sorry, bands.
Sure.
Would be those. And, the police, however, use a different frequency because, you know, of course you don't want to be driving around listening to NPR or something and then hear police chatter, right?
I would.
Well, a lot of people would, actually.
I think a lot of people would, yeah.
I would probably be there
too.
They sell
those too.
Yeah, strike what I said. Insert. It just doesn't happen.
No,
police don't do that.
You can't pick it up on your AM radio.
Right. So a radar detector then is built to receive these frequencies. You got a hand up. Question?
No. I'm just thinking it through.
Just thinking it through?
Yeah, because you're talking about the guns, right?
No, I was talking about the detectors in the dash.
Oh, okay, very good.
The detectors in the dash sense these frequencies emitted from these radar guns.
Oh, got it. Okay.
And the way that the radar guns work, which we should segue into, the way they work is they spread out. They're actually transmitters and receivers.
Okay.
Because it doesn't matter if they shoot out, something toward a vehicle, because they'll never know how fast it's going unless they also receive the light bouncing back, right?
Got it. Okay.
Or not light, excuse me.
Radio waves.
Radio waves.
Yeah.
And, but we'll get into the light too, I think.
Yeah,
right?
We are going to talk about light. So you're jumping ahead.
I'm jumping all over. I'm like a Quentin Tarantino film over
that's
here.
That's all right.
So yeah, so basically these detectors are tuned to pick up the, frequency range used by the police for radar guns. And so because radar guns emit, they kind of have like a cone or a sort of a circular dish antenna that concentrates the radio signal, and this wave spreads out over an area. And so that's why you can get a beep or a notice from your radar detector when you cannot see a police officer, which is like the whole point.
Ah, right? So you're catching it early.
You're catching it early in theory.
I see.
Now, these things, of course, aren't going to do any good because they're receivers. They're not going to do you any good at all if a police officer is at a speed trap without a gun, or if a police officer comes up behind you and turns one on, mm-hmm. It's just not
going to
work.
So you're getting into some of the different ways that they can catch you besides using radar or lidar,
yes.
Even.
Yes.
All right. Well, boy, okay, I understand. I get it now that, you know, that it's a receiver or sender and, rather transmitter and receiver for mm-hmm. the gun. Mm-hmm. The radar detector that you have in your car is just a receiver
mm-hmm.
and it's tuned to that band that the gun is tuned to.
To their frequency.
Okay.
Yeah,
so if you go down the list of the different types of bands that they have that are, you know, the bands that police radar uses.
Yeah.
There are several different types. There's the X band, there's the K band, and there's the KA band. Sometimes they call that the super wide KA band. X-band is really one of the easiest to detect, and I have notes here that are long gone. They've gone away somehow, but, I heard that very few police departments actually use, the X-band anymore. So if you're buying a radar detector, X-band, you know, it may also have X-band, but, don't buy one with just X-band. You'll be sadly mistaken that, you know, if that's going to pick up any.
Right.
You know, unless you're in select states. And, again, you can look at these articles and find out which ones are which. K-band, which is, I don't know, that's probably one of the more frequently used ones at this point. Then there's also the Ka band, which is a really wide frequency range, and it exceeds the K band limits. And again, they call it wide band or super wide Ka band. And this is the one that, you know, if you have a detector that can detect K band, it will not detect Ka band. So you have to be specific about getting one that detects Ka. So you see what I mean when I mentioned earlier, this cat and mouse?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they started out with X, then they moved up to K, then they moved up to Ka, and then, you know, who knows what's going to be next. But here's the thing, Ben, about all these. Now, remember that we said that the radar detectors are receivers, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, did you know that there are radar detector detectors?
Say that one more time.
Radar detector detectors.
I have heard, in Tennessee we say heard tell. Heard tell of this.
Understood. they're used by the police. And if you're in an area, where radar detectors are illegal, the police can scan traffic for people that are using a detector, and they'll be able to detect that you have a detector in your car because of the frequency that that detector gives off. There's a signature bandwidth that's given off that they receive a signal.
Are these just ordinary police officers, or are these special radar detectives?
No.
I'm sorry.
Very good. Radar detector.
Detectives. I'm just being a jerk.
Very
man.
Good. No.
Okay. But it's the point, and they're actually the small one. Any police officer can use these.
Any police officer can use those, but it's of course more prevalent in the states and communities in the world that the use of detectors are illegal.
Right.
And the thing is, if they're, again, this is another case where, you know, if they're broadcasting this, the signal, you know, these RDD signals at a big group of vehicles, they can't tell which one has the radar detector.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be able to single you out. And if you're the only vehicle around, of course, they've got you. They know that you're the one. Okay. Cause remember, they do have the right to search your car. So, you'll be caught with it. So just be careful.
Do not pass go.
All right. Now, let's talk about a different type of radar, but it's not really radar. It's using light, like you mentioned earlier.
Some sort of light
I
radar?
I say radar because it gives you an idea of what we're talking about here. It's the same type of thing. This is a laser system.
Mm-hmm.
It's called LIDAR, and it's an acronym for Light Detection and Ranging. Okay.
Okay.
And LIDAR is, it's very similar, but it uses, concentrated light, pulses of light.
Okay.
And it reads them much in the same way that, you know, the radar detector works with radio waves. This works with light rays, light waves. And, boy, I'm getting confused. But it analyzes them the same way to determine the vehicle speed. So, the light beams are a lot faster and they're a lot more concentrated. They're very, very centralized. You can focus this much greater than you can a radar gun.
Which, as we said, quickly spreads.
Exactly. And these are the type that if you drive by a police officer and they've got the gun up to their eyeball and they're looking through the device at your vehicle, that's a LIDAR gun that they're using. They're using laser.
Now, let's also point out that these are not visible light.
No.
Right?
These are beyond visible light.
Yeah.
And so you're not going to see the beam of light, of course.
Mm-hmm.
There are ways to you may wonder how you're going to mask this or how you're going to be caught. There are detectors that detect this, and they detect, you know, if there's a like a specific target, you know, they'll be able to read that, you know, it's quick because it's on off. They call it I think it's popping is what they call it, because they just turn it on and off. It's real quick. It doesn't remain on like a radar would remain on, so you don't get a constant signal.
Mm-hmm.
Even more difficult to
try to circumvent.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. So one of the things that you can do for protection in your case, I guess, if you're a speeder, is that you can buy a stealth coating for reflective surfaces on your car, which include your headlights, your license plate, your fog lights, something like that on the front of the vehicle. This stuff is expensive, though.
Really?
Yeah, real expensive.
How much is it?
5.5 ounces. Uh-huh. It's called Stealth Coating or something like that. You can find versions of this online. $90. And you brush it on with a brush. You brush it on all the reflective surfaces of your car on the front.
I guess the next question is how much is the ticket?
Avoiding, right? Yeah, well, they have jammers. That's the other thing is there are jammer systems and mm-hmm. that's effective with laser systems.
Right. Scott, what I think you're talking about, and tell me if I'm on base here, is you're talking about the I guess they came along more recently, the newer types of non-passive radar detectors.
Yes.
Because they jam it, right?
Yeah, they send out a confusing signal that disturbs the signal that the gun is receiving, and it's just enough to allow you to adjust your speed. So what this does is this gives you a little bit extra, mm-hmm. a little bit extra time mm-hmm. to back yourself down, get yourself within the limit, mm-hmm. as you see it or you hear it or whatever happens, with this type of device. But they have radar jammers and they also have laser jammers. And, it just masks your car's signal, that they're receiving. And mm-hmm. it does that via, radio noise on the radar signal. On a laser system, it has its own LEDs that are built in that produce kind of shield, I guess, almost. Okay. Like a light beam shield around your car that I know it sounds cool.
Well, it kind of scrambles the, information.
Exactly. It doesn't receive the light in the way that it normally would, and it confuses it mm-hmm. just enough so that you can bring it down to the right speed. And then when they check you again, hopefully you're within the range. And then
never had any of this stuff.
I know it. And you know what? There are videos online of people using, these jammers and how they work and everything and testing them and everything. But I don't know. You know, there's another thing you can use.
What's that?
And I just thought about this. This is the original detector was called the VG. And then I think there was a VG2. Mm. And the VG2... Then was moved on to, then they went up to something called a Spectre when there's a 1, 2, and 3 Spectre. So again, this cat and mouse thing back and mm-hmm, forth, If you can get a radar detector with VG2 invisibility. So you can get, that's what I'm saying is like, this is so back and forth that, they've got a radar gun. They shoot it at your car. You've got a radar detector, so you know that they're shooting at your car. They've also got a radar detector, and they know that you've got a radar detector, right?
So
now you've got a VG2 invisibility device on your detector to shield yourself from that. And then they say, well, I can't really tell what they're doing there, so I'm going to shoot them again. And you've got this jammer system on there too. It's just this maddening back and forth, that happens. Yeah. And the problem is that now we're starting to talk about radar detectors that are in the $500-$600 range, maybe mm-hmm. even more.
Yeah.
And every time they upgrade this, you've got to upgrade your equipment as well. So it's getting expensive.
Just like any other form of electronic device, these devices do have a shelf life,
Yeah.
What is it? Planned obsolescence or whatever it's called?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they know when it's done.
And, you might, if you're somebody who is used to having one of these things around, you'll probably end up buying one,
Probably. Yeah. I mean, I have never owned one. Never owned a radar detector.
I never had one just because I was never really clear. And I thought, and this is a concern I've heard from other people, thought if you get pulled over for anything, police officers will rightly make certain assumptions about you.
Yeah, they make notice of that.
Yeah, because they'll know. They know what those look like.
Yeah, sure.
And, I mean, at best, it's going to be a funny conversation between you and the cop where they say, your brake light's out. Can you just go get that fixed? And they go, is that the one with VG2 invisibility? You have to be like, yeah, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Do a lot of speeding, do you, son?
I just am into detection.
I see. I'll be right back. License and registration, please. Yeah, that's the way it goes, right?
Yeah.
So now you want to hear about just a couple of low-tech ways that this can happen?
These are
the
non-electronic.
Well, there's one that's electronic that I'm going to mention, and that's pacing. Okay, it can be done both ways. Mm. Pacing can be done with a radar gun from behind, that they can – the the police vehicles are calibrated from the factory with the exact speed. So are the guns. The guns are matched to the speed. You know, they know exactly. They're electronically calibrated. So they, in traffic, will know if a vehicle is, you know, the device itself knows that if you're in traffic going 40 miles an hour and you see a car pass you and it's going, according to the device, 30 miles an hour away from the car, it knows it's going 70 miles an hour.
I see.
Et cetera. Okay. Yeah. That's the electronic version of this. Pacing is when they just pull up next to you and they match your speed in traffic. Mm-hmm. And you don't recognize that they're there next to you. And they're coming up behind you and they stay with you. And I think there's a limit, a time limit. Mm-hmm. It has to be like an eighth of a mile or something like that. There has to be a measured distance where, and I wouldn't quote that, but
yeah.
Something like that where they have to match you for an eighth of a mile in order to be able to get an honest reading.
To like eliminate the margin of error as much as possible.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I paced him for, you know, half a mile at 75 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And that's why I gave you a ticket for 15 over or whatever it was. Maybe one of the lowest tech ways to do this, Ben.
What's that?
Just timing a vehicle between two known points.
The way that we still do the world's fastest, like the land speed record.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the way that the way that drag races are measured. Hmm. It's just timing between a known distance at one point, point A and point B. They do this from a vehicle, and they can do it with a camera.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even have to be a manned device. They can do that with a camera. And like a lot of these sites have said, it's difficult to argue with videotape in court.
It is tough.
Yeah, I would think so. So they either tape this happening, they do it with, I mean, it can go as low tech as having a stopwatch in hand, or it can be as high tech as, you know, having a timing device like what you'd find at the racetrack. The other way is that, have you ever driven by the signs that say that the speed is monitored from the air?
Yes.
That is how they do it from the air also. They have large marks on the ground that are marked off at, you know, a quarter mile, half mile, a mile.
Wow.
Big marks that, you know, would be visible from the air. You don't necessarily see them. They're on the side of the road. They're wide, you know, big markings.
But they're not for you. They're for the helicopter.
Exactly. And they time the time it travels for you to go between point A and point B. And then there's a formula that they plug those numbers into, and that determines your speed. And from there, it's just a matter of radioing ahead and having the police pull you over.
Wow.
It's a lot more simple than you might think. And, you know, you'd never ever see a helicopter coming up from behind or a small airplane. It can be done from a small airplane, flying car, whatever.
Thank you. That's nice. There's a little olive branch there.
Yeah.
Thanks,
yeah.
Buddy.
You're welcome.
So, okay. We're going to reveal though, and of course, this is the part where some other podcast might make it sound like a joke and like they're being clever or whatever. But I think it's already clear that the best way to avoid a speeding ticket is...
Don't speed.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That is it. Yeah, you gotta... I mean, that's the only way to avoid a ticket, really, is to just not do it, not speed.
Yeah. And there... A lot of that kind of stuff is the officer's discretion. You know what I mean, too? So...
Yeah. Have you ever received a warning ticket?
Just a citation? I've received a citation.
Just a warning ticket that says, hey, slow down. Next time I'll give you a real ticket.
Yeah, I got one of those before.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But, I love that you mentioned the camera thing, because real quick, I am sure, I know some of our listeners are around, intersections that have the cameras watching you. Mm-hmm. They're prevalent in Atlanta.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Every corner.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you and I are off the air, we're talking about different tricks that we see people try to pull, like hiding your license plate and stuff.
Yeah.
Man, a buddy of mine actually got caught at an intersection by a camera running the red light.
Oh.
And she tried to argue about it.
Mm-hmm. But,
from what I understand, I don't know if this is true, bro, but from what I understand, when she went to court to argue about it, the hat that she was wearing was the same hat she was wearing the tape.
Yeah, and she was saying, that's not me.
I don't know what she was saying.
Oh, my gosh. Tattoo on the forearm?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, that wasn't me.
Right. And a social security number on the side of the car.
Yeah, sure. That's right.
But so... In my opinion, it's just so much easier to not have to participate in this crazy laser radar arms race. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's essentially what it is.
Yeah.
And, a lot of people though tell me that they're telling me, you know, thank God for my radar detector, or, I've only heard people say that about radar detectors. I don't know anybody who has shown up at my house and said, thank goodness for my jammer.
No, I haven't. I've never known anybody with a jammer, I don't think.
I don't know if, you know what, maybe they just don't talk about it.
Maybe.
You don't want a lot of people to know.
Maybe.
So.
It's gotta be an expensive feature on some of the newer models, though.
Yeah.
I would think.
Yeah, I don't know if it's factory on any cars, that's for sure.
No, I don't think so. Not at all. Should be on some cars.
It should be.
Yeah.
They should just let people be honest. If you buy a Bugatti, it should just come with some radar equipment.
That's right. Just complete stealth covering.
Yeah.
Every surface.
I'm going to look into that. I love this idea of this James Bond fantasy Monte Carlo I'm building in my head.
Mm-hmm. It's not invisibility paint. You know that.
Okay, well.
Long pause. I think you maybe thought, never mind.
I'm going through here. I'll figure it out, okay?
Just get it.
Let the inspiration strike.
Yeah.
And while I go away to wait for that stroke of revelation that will let me know how to make my car possibly invisible, we're going to have to let these folks go, Scott. It's time for us to head out.
It's been long enough.
What do you think about Facebook, Twitter?
I think we've got them.
Yeah, we're car stuff on there.
Car stuff HSW, I think, on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got the blog.
We got a great blog.
Got the website, which has a million articles. I'm going to say it is a billion articles. a billion auto articles and just about anything you'd want, anything under the sun. And if you don't find it on our website, you can send us an email at
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy.
Yeah.
Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.